Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
McCall, you're listening to Business Life Works, the radio show that guides you and coaches you on how to create a fulfilling life using the harmonic matching process. Today, we're speaking with Sarah Ting, and Sarah has written a book called Small Book with a Big Idea, 5-Minute Training to Empower You and Transform the World, which sounds pretty incredible. It's called The Sun Poem. Sarah, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, let me give a little more intro information, and then I'm going to let you tell our listeners about yourself and give your bio to them. So, Sarah, you know, the show today is called Creating Unity in the World. And we are focused on Sarah's specialty, which is unconscious bias, dealing with unconscious bias, and why it matters. So according to Sarah Ting, most people harbor unconscious biases, which really is the root cause of societal divisiveness. Sarah says, I have a tool that can help people become more self-aware of all their unconscious biases and any future ones humans will create. It's a poem called the Sun Poem, and it only takes 15 seconds or less to read. Sarah is a diversity and inclusion educator, speaker, consultant, and again, author of Small Book with a Big Idea. Sarah, let's get started. Tell us how you got interested in this topic and, you know, how long ago and what really motivated you to focus on creating unity in the world through dealing with unconscious bias.
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Margaret, for having me your show, and I applaud you for the work that you're doing, so thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
I also want to add that I'm a TEDx speaker, and I also spoke about the poem that was the whole focus of my talk. And here's what's going to probably surprise you and all of your listeners. This poem was written in a personal journal in 1978, never meant to be shared. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Never meant to be shared. And I did not realize the power of this poem until it did become public. And how did it become public? Well, this might shock you as well, Margaret. It wasn't my idea. It was not my idea. A dear friend of mine, who at the time was a Billboard representative, she was so moved by this poem. At the time, I had written a collection of poems with a dear friend of mine who wanted to collaborate together. I said, sure. Of course you get excited when you write your first set of poems and a book. So I just shared it with her. She was so moved by it, Margaret. She said, Sarah, this is what we're going to do with this poem. We're going to put it up on billboards.
Wow.
I go, really? Well, at the time, Boston was going through its court-ordered desegregation of the Boston public schools. There was a lot of turmoil going on in the 70s, 80s, and so she was moved by this poem because I believe she felt this could help the city. And it's
in fact,
a leader from the Asian American community actually remembered the poem that was promoted throughout Boston in 1985. He remembered it. That's how powerful it was. It made it, and then it went to New York City, 1986. And the network, CBS and NBC Network TV, aired it, public service announcement of the poem.
Wow.
So that that campaign planted the seed. It planted the seed. But what led me deeper into this work, in 1987, I was commissioned by a bank. They don't exist anymore, but I was commissioned to produce a 4-foot by 8-foot copy of this poem. 4-foot by 8-foot.
Mm-hmm.
It hung in the library of the YWCA of Boston. Hung in the lobby. And then at an event, this young lady comes up to me. I totally wasn't expecting this. She comes up to me and she said, "Sarah, I have to tell you what this poem did for me." And I said, "Okay." So she tells me the first words out of her mouth, Margaret. She said when she first read the poem, she hated it. Good thing I stood still to hear the rest of the story.
What did she say? She said when she first read the poem, what?
She hated it.
She hated it?
Yes, she hated it. Now, good thing I stood still to hear the rest of the story, Margaret, because...
Wow.
And I knew she wasn't being malicious. She wanted to tell me what this poem did for her. Well, the poem opened up the wounds that she had inside of her. She was carrying of being discriminated in Boston, growing up as an Asian American woman. And the poem opened up the wounds, brought back all those memories, which she hated. But she realized over time, after seeing the poem over and over again, she had to learn how to let go of the past and forgive. Forgiveness. She learned forgiveness. Because that's what we're going to have to do for one another, Margaret. We all have unconscious biases, and no one is a terrible human being for having it. It's called the human conditioning. And the biases you will have will be dependent on the family you grow up in, the community, the education, and even the nation you grow up in will dictate the kind of biases you will learn.
Mm-hmm.
You will learn.
Sure.
And so what the Sun poem can do is help you unlearn them and be more aware of them. That's what the poem did for her. Imagine she kept holding on to those feelings. Imagine.
Mm. Sarah, when the Sun poem first went out onto the billboard, this woman who was in charge of billboards, she didn't, usually you pay a huge amount of money to have a billboard.
But she
must have had funding to address this issue across the city, right? Across Boston?
Right.
She used that funding when she saw your poem. She felt your poem would, I'm just trying to understand, would, so it's not like you paid to have this thing promoted. She picked up on it. She had some funding, and it fit right in with the topic she was directed to address, correct?
Not necessarily funding. Billboards, obviously they are dependent on clients to use their space. Many billboard companies, they don't have their space filled up 24/7. So sometimes they have open spaces. So that's called using the space for public service announcements.
Okay.
PSA. So the spaces were donated.
Got it.
And now we have digital billboards that are available. I didn't know this until 2021, digital billboards. So in 2023, this poem got put up on 60 digital billboards across the nation.
That's pretty incredible. That's a great story.
And then here's the thing, Margaret. Two things had to happen. Number one, me reaching out to the company, introducing myself, and then presenting the poem. So the first step, I had to present myself in a professional way, in a positive way, not a demanding way. And the second, they had to like the message. Because they don't have to give it to me. They could say, you're a really nice person, Sarah, but we'll pass on this message. Companies gave me as many as 10 spaces. I was only asking for one. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they were moved by the poem. They realized our nation is so divided right now. We need to come together. We need to see that the common identity that we all have is called human beings. We all need to be rooted in our humanity diverse. That is what will give us the capacity to embrace the diversity of humanity. We are not all women. We're not all men. We're not all black. We're not all white. We're not all Asian. We're not all gay. We're not all transgender. But we are all human beings.
Yes, yes, yes. So why don't we take a moment and have you recite the sun poem?
Thank you. Are you greater than the sun that shines on everyone? Black, brown, yellow, red, and white, the sun does not discriminate.
Beautiful. It puts it in such a simple way. Very clear, very simple, and it just makes its point, right?
Yes. It's beautiful what you just said, Margaret. Such a simple, clear way. A 9-year-old can understand this. And let's think about this. As far as I know, the sun shines on the rich and the poor. As far as I know, the sun shines on the old and the young. You know, age discrimination, class discrimination. As far as I know, the sun shines on Democrats, Republicans, and independents. You know, political biases. As far as I know, the sun shines on the extreme left, the extreme right, and the moderates. So really, what this requires of each of us is to really go inside ourselves, check ourselves, and connect with our humanity. Because this nation can only be as great as the values we cherish, the values we cherish and pass on to the next generation. And if we, and I do mean we, if we don't care about one another and care about the greater good in our community, I don't know what's going to become of our country.
Right. Yes, well, that's certainly a concern of many. And I think, again, the poem just brings it to light instead of making it complicated, you know. It just brings it into light, which is wonderful and beautiful. So tell me, what was it like growing up? When you wrote this in your journal, what was going on with you at that time? May I ask approximately how old you were and what was happening that you wrote that?
I was in my late 20s, and obviously your listeners can't see me. I'm Chinese. I'm Chinese American. And I grew up in this country at a time when there was very, very few Asian Americans, very few. In elementary school, out of 600 children, my sister and I were in for Asian girls, too. That was 600. And pretty much everywhere I went, I was the only one. So I would say at a very young age, I became more rooted in my humanity. Because think about it. If I only wanted to be friends with children who looked like me, I would have been alone all the time. I would have been alone all the time.
Right, of course. So when you wrote this, what were you thinking?
Yes.
Were you
when
happy
I wrote this poem, well, this poem came at the end of a spiritual journey I was on. A spiritual journey. I think all of us in life, there's three groups of people. There are those who believe in God, those who don't, and those who are not sure. Right? I mean, is there a fourth category? But those are the three categories, right? Those who believe, don't believe, and those who are not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree? Is there a fourth category?
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
Right. So, I was in the last category. I'm not sure. Now, I was introduced to Presbyterian religion through my parents because we had dear friends who were Presbyterian. So I was introduced to church. And that's how I was introduced to the concept of God, through church. Hmm. However, in my late 20s, I realized, you know what, I got to find out for myself. Do I believe in God or not? And I figured, well, the best place to figure this out is find a church and learn about God through a church. Right? That's pretty simple, straightforward. Right, Margaret?
It can be. A lot of people say they don't find God in church, but go ahead. Go ahead. One way.
Exactly. One way. And so here I am, all excited about learning about God. I go to this church, and there was a couple hundred people, and I'm hoping a welcome, good morning, how are you? I get nothing. No good morning, no hello. It was like I was invisible. I said, I think I'm going to go somewhere else because tons of churches in Boston. So I go to another place. Mm-hmm. Then I experience the same thing. Not one single person spoke to me or said hello or good morning.
Wow.
So I said, okay, I'll go across the river. I'll go to another church across the river. So I went to Cambridge.
You went where?
Cambridge. And I experienced the same thing. And this one particular church, the music was divine. It was beautiful. And I thought I was going to feel like this is the place. No. Nobody said hello. Nobody said good morning. Nothing. I said, okay, I'll go back a river again. I'm going to go to another community. And this particular church, there were older people, like maybe a dozen. And I said, they don't look like they're going to be around too much longer. So now I made the decision, I'm going to go back to Boston. I'm a very friendly person. I'll do the outreaching. So I go back, and I find this place, and I, at the end of the service, I say, they look like a nice, warm, friendly couple. Go up to them. I introduce myself. I tell them, this is my first time here. And so they know it's my first time here. How long have you been coming here? Oh, several years. And then, Margaret, it was one of those polite conversations, and then they walked away. So they might as well not talk to me.
Right.
Right? So now I remember this day so vividly. I even remember what I was wearing. It was a gray New England day. My hair fell down to my waist. I had a white beret on. I had this deep velvet green coat that tied at the waist, red maroon boots that came up to my knees. The bus came, stepped onto the bus, and as the bus was pulling away, the sun broke through the clouds. The rays came shining through the window and on my face. I felt the warmth of the sun. And then I heard this calm male voice speak to me, and it said, Sarah, I don't just shine on you, I shine on everyone.
Wait a minute, I'm having a little trouble hearing you, Sarah.
The sun's rays broke through the cloud.
Right, I heard that.
Came shining on my face, I felt the warmth of the sun, and I heard this warm male voice speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
And said to me, Sarah, I don't just shine on you, I shine on everyone. That is what inspired the poem. I went home and wrote, Are You Greater Than the Sun?
Wow.
That shines on everyone. Black, brown, yellow, red, and white, the sun does not discriminate. So that healed me. The poem healed me. It was never meant to be public.
Mm-hmm. It's very personal.
And then I told you the story. Yes, and then I told you the story of how I began to realize the depth and breadth of the poem. And so I basically have dedicated my life since 1985 to bringing this poem to the world.
Wow. So how are you, that's a beautiful story, thank you for sharing that. How are you moving this poem forward beyond the United States? And of course, you know, just having the book, of course, it's available everywhere and anywhere, I assume, wherever books are sold, correct?
Yes, it's on Amazon. This book is, yes, and I want to let you know that the Michigan National Guard, they ordered 200 copies of this book. And Unilever, which is a global company, they actually sponsored 5,000 copies one year for a national conference. To answer your question, how are we moving it out? Well, as you know, I gave a TED talk the whole focus of the TED Talk is the poem. So we are reaching out to schools, colleges, and universities and saying, and organizations, especially healthcare organizations. Why healthcare? Well, because in 2020, I believe, according to the American Public Health Association, 145 cities and counties across 27 states declared racism a public health crisis.
Mm-hmm.
These are not my words. So we are now sharing the TED Talk, which is free, as a DEI resource tool. Just have your colleagues watch this and have a discussion about it. Because at the end of the day, the change has to come internally within each person. Just reflect on the poem. What does it say to you? And everybody has to be willing to be honest with themselves and be okay with being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot grow by staying comfortable.
Right.
By the way, I do DEI workshops, diverse inclusion workshops, and I ask people, okay, how many of you want to stop growing personally and professionally? Raise your hand.
Definitely.
Everybody wants to grow. Yeah. On the other side of discomfort is called growth. Growth.
Yes. Sarah, we have to take a quick segment break, but we're going to be back in just a few minutes with more conversation and dialogue with Sarah Ting, the author of Small Book with a Big Idea. We'll be back in just a moment.
Did you know that more than 54% of Americans fight with people close to them because of stress? That people with positive social relationships recover from illness faster? And that people who have a best friend at work are 7 times more likely to be engaged in their jobs? The Relationship Code teaches us to empower ourselves in all types of relationships with the new techniques and insights of the 4-step harmonic matching process. The harmonic process integrates psychology with universal principles to help people achieve their desires. In the Relationship Code, you'll learn to create positive, self-fulfilling prophecies, communicate effectively, enhance relationships on the job, overcome everyday and long-term challenges, and develop extraordinary outcomes. Published by Career Press and available now, you can go to www.margaretmacraw.com or call 410-366-9111 to order the book. Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach as well as a holistic health practitioner and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction. Would you like to transcend patterns in your life that inhibit you from attracting true love? Begin creating strong, fulfilling relationships that are long-lasting. Margaret McCraw's book, Tune Into Love, can give you a positive start and an exciting new process for attracting the loving partner you seek. Tune Into Love will also teach you 4 essential steps for focusing your thoughts, emotions, and beliefs to create all of your desires. Learn how to sidestep the self-imposed roadblocks that hold you from fulfillment. In addition to attracting and creating a fulfilling relationship, Tune Into Love will show you how to attract better health, fulfilling careers, abundance of money, and harmony in all aspects of your life. Order your copy today at www.tuneintolove.com or call 877-366-9111 or visit the website tuneintolove.com.
Radio Your Way. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCraw, host of Business Life Works, produced by HealthyLife.net. We are here talking with Sarah Ting today, and we are addressing a big topic called creating unity in the world. And one of the ways of creating unity in the world is to deal with our unconscious bias. And Sarah Ting is here to help us with that. She's the author of Small Book with a Big Idea, 5-Minute Training to Empower You and Transform the World. And Sarah, before we go into some more questioning and dialogue here, why don't you give your website? I know you have two of them. And if there's anything in particular on the website you want to let our listeners know, please do so now.
Yes, thank you so much, Margaret. So SarahTing.com will tell you a lot about my book, SarahTing.com, and other books I have. And also, AsTheSun.net will tell you about my diversity and inclusion training and the other books as well. And regarding unconscious biases, first of all, it's hidden. It's hidden. You don't realize you have it. And all human beings have it. And no one is a terrible person for having it. The only
right.
people who don't have it, they're dead. If you're alive, you will have it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's hidden. You don't realize you have it. It's what we learn. And unfortunately, sometimes we learn it from our own family members. And sometimes we learn it from our friends and at school and in the community. So this is work that all of us have to do consciously. You don't accidentally lose your biases. You have to consciously work on it. But the great reward is you grow. You grow personally and professionally. Some of the signs to tell you that you have an unconscious bias, well, if you're feeling uncomfortable with people who don't look like you, or if you make an immediate assumption about someone you just met.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you go to a social event. Let's pretend there's a social event. Your company has tickets and you go to this event. You don't know anyone. Who do you gravitate towards? The people
right.
who look like you?
Right. People do, yes. So I have a question about that. How about... Let's talk for a moment about conscious bias, because many times people are very aware of their biases. They just have no desire to change those biases. They feel they're right. They feel this is the way it is. At least this is the way it is in their world. And there's no intention of changing it. What do you say about that?
Well, and that's a really good question, Margaret. Number one, I would first ask them to reflect on a sun poem. That's number one. Number two, I would ask them, where did that come from? Where did it start? Because when you ask yourself, well, where did it really come from, it will help you understand why you have it. Because at the end of the day, yes, it's up to each person whether they want to hold on to it or not. It's true. You can't force people to grow. You can't.
No. And some people feel very justified in having their biases, and, you know, there's no intention, and they wouldn't even associate growth as, you know, as an outcome of addressing or dealing with that bias. Does that make sense?
Yes, and you can't force it on people. You can't.
No, you can't.
You can't. But at the end of the day, if you understand the evolution of human beings, they are doing themselves a disservice. They don't realize it because they are conditioned to feel perfectly fine with it. So all you can do is have a lot of compassion for the person and hope that maybe over time that they will come to the realization, the self-awareness, because that is the only way they're going to change.
I think what happens too is, you know, what we believe is what we attract more of. So if we choose to just say, this is the way it is, this is what I believe, look what happened here, look what happened there, let me give you my 10 examples, then they will attract more reasons to confirm their belief is accurate. it's law of attraction. It's what they will keep bringing into their world is the same experience. If they're happy with that experience and they have no desire to change it, or they at least feel justified and they're thriving off their, they think they're thriving off their anger, then I think they'll stay. If they're uncomfortable with it and they feel it's, they can actually understand how it might be hurting them to have that bias, then I think it might open up the door to hearing what you're saying about the Sun poem, right?
Right. I mean, what you described is called kind of confirmation bias, where you keep seeking information that confirms the bias you have.
Right, right. It's, and I think that happens bias a lot, because, I mean, it's, we know in the field of psychology, certainly what we believe is what we attract more of. That's based, I mean, we have tons of research on that. And even people have been traumatized, victimized in a certain situation. They've done lots of studies on sexual abuse. And individuals who have been abused sexually, the studies show that if they believe there's a high probability it's going to happen again, okay, if that's their belief about the world and their life experiences, then they've done these long-term studies, and it shows that they repeatedly have these sexual abuse situations occur throughout their life. Different people, different circumstances, but it keeps occurring. And the group of people who were traumatized with sexual abuse early on in their life, but they believe it was a one-time situation, highly unusual, it's not going to be part of their life experience going forward. What they have found is those individuals do not continually have the experience of being traumatized with sexual abuse. They've done many, many studies on various experiences people have had and what their beliefs are about those experiences. So I think, again, when we have these biases and we have, yes, maybe facts to show, well, yes, this happened and this is factual, it's not just a perception, this occurred, and then we're going to keep adding to it because we're going to keep having those experiences. And all of us have done that with our beliefs. All of us have had beliefs where we keep attracting, whether we want it or not, the same thing. And then being able to, and it's not an unconscious bias, it's a conscious belief system, a conscious bias. And then we're going to have to be able to break through that, which is amazing to be able to help people to do that. And they have to want to do it. But I don't know, in my own experience, I've found that people have to see how it's hurting them, and they have to really understand that if they go on with this belief, you with the same type of experience in their life. We have to take a quick segment break, but I'd love more of your input on that, more dialogue. So we'll be back in just a moment. We're here with Sarah Ting, the author of a small book with a big idea and the author of the Sun poem. So thank you, Sarah. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach, as well as a holistic health practitioner, and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCraw, host of Business Life Works. We are here today addressing all kinds of topics around how to create unity in the world. One of them has to do with conscious bias as well as unconscious bias and why it matters. And Sarah Ting is helping us with this topic today. Sarah, why don't you go ahead and just give your website and then we'll go forward with our discussion.
Sure. So sarahting.com and also as the sun, it's sun.net. So as the sun, sun.net.
Great. So how do you feel? We wrapped up the last segment talking, adding in conscious bias, as well as, of course, addressing unconscious bias. So tell us about your work with organizations. You said there were, several large purchases of your book for staff. Repeat who has bought your book and how they're using it.
Yeah. So with the Michigan National Guard, they ordered it because they wanted also to do diversity inclusion training, which I also did, and they saw this as a valuable resource tool to help them, because training is good, but you also want to give people a tool that they can use, whether daily or weekly, and that's why the Sun poem, to me, is such a simple, powerful tool. I mean, I would ask everybody and all organizations to think about this. As we've said, all human beings have unconscious biases. You're not going to give someone training every single day. That's not reasonable. So what tools can you give someone that takes them 10 seconds or less to help cultivate a mindset of valuing yourself and all people? The poem is it. And I also have it available in the 30-second public service announcement, just to reflect on it. And doctors have read my book and gave it great reviews. And I really put a lot of stress and emphasis on healthcare, because you're literally talking about people's lives, their health and well-being. And doctors and nurses, they don't go into the institution, the hospital, to discriminate. Of course not. They don't do that intentionally. It's unconscious. And there's data on it that black babies are dying at a higher rate than white babies. The evidence is there. The data is there. And black mothers dying in giving childbirth, they're dying at a high rate too.
Right.
So we just have to, but the bottom line, Margaret, if you really think about this, racism and sexism are not new issues to our country, are they?
Say that question again.
Is racism and sexism, are these new issues to our country?
Of course not. No, of course not.
Would you agree that they've been with our nation since the day it was founded?
Yeah, I would. Sure.
No, okay. So, if we think about this, I'm going to say something profound, and I'm perfectly fine if you don't agree with this. Racism and sexism has been with our country since the day it was founded. That means we have a difficult time handling the truth.
Sure. I think that's true. Yes,
and here's Madame Curie. Think about this. I didn't know this until several years ago. She won the Nobel Peace Prize in Science twice. Can you imagine the gender biases she must have gone through in the field of science as a woman? I can only imagine. Here's what she said. You cannot hope to build a better world without improving the individual. To that end, each of us must work on our own improvement. She didn't talk about creating a new policy or a new law, because she realized people create policies and laws. If you don't work on yourself, you create another policy that has a bias on it, or a law. Or if you try and dismantle one system and you didn't do work on yourself, you could easily replace one system with a bias with another.
Right. Absolutely. It's just like addictions. You know, if you don't deal with one addiction, you're going to take on another addiction.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a consciousness. It's a consciousness.
Yes.
And we do have to address what is in our conscience.
Exactly. In fact, I will share this wonderful quote by Albert Einstein, who said, "You cannot solve a problem with the same consciousness that created it. You must stand on the higher ground."
Yeah.
So that is the rub. We have to raise our consciousness. If we don't, we're on this treadmill doing the same thing over and over again.
Right. Absolutely. What I love about your work, what I love about your poem, is you're not making a particular person or a particular culture or a particular race wrong. You're not focused on you're wrong, this one's right, in what I've observed so far. What you're focused on is we all have things, we all need to grow, we all need to be aware of who we are for the sake of our own experience in the world, right?
Yes.
As well as for the sake of the experience of others that we are helping to create or leave behind to our children. And so I like that your work is, you know, we all need to do this. Instead of, you're wrong, you're right, this, you know, you're not victimizing somebody through trying to help them. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Margaret, I love what you just said. Ditto_. And the beauty of the poem, there's no judgment in it. There's no shame. There's no guilt. It's about uplifting all of us to value ourselves and one another.
Right.
And people don't realize how much they can grow and how much they're going to feel like a great human being and just be able to contribute to other people's lives in their community. It's limitless what you can do when you really understand the depth and breadth of this poem and you really embrace it, mind, body, and soul. Look what it's done for me.
Right. No, I think that's true, and I think people have different ways and ideas that they want to deal with racism, sexism, all these things which do exist, you know, do exist. I think, though, I find in my own world, in my own consciousness, some of these tools, and yours does agree with me, but some of them don't, because in order to be activated, somebody ends up being wrong, somebody ends up being right, somebody ends up being the victim, somebody ends up being the perpetrator, and then, you know, through the process, there's a lot of emotions and feelings about that, especially if you're dealing with the past that maybe you feel you weren't part of. So, you know, I know I went to a conference 20 years ago, but it is a method that many people use, and that is, For healing to occur with African Americans or the black race, with the white race, given the slavery, given all that occurred, the painful things that occurred, it is that white people must say a specific apology to the black people for that occurring. I want to come back to this because I'd like your input on it. I'd like your thoughts on this. So we'll be back in just a minute with our last segment. So stay tuned.
Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach, as well as a holistic health practitioner, and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Would you like to transcend patterns in your life that inhibit you from attracting true love? Begin creating strong, fulfilling relationships that are long-lasting. Margaret McCraw's book, Tune Into Love, can give you a positive start and an exciting new process for attracting the loving partner you seek. Tune Into Love will also teach you four essential steps for focusing your thoughts, emotions, and beliefs to create all of your desires. Learn how to sidestep the self-imposed roadblocks that hold you from fulfillment. In addition to attracting and creating a fulfilling relationship, Tune Into Love will show you how to attract better health, fulfilling careers, abundance of money, and harmony in all aspects of your life. Order your copy today at www.tuneintolove.com or call 877-366-9111 or visit the website TuneIntoLove.com.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCall, host of Business Life Works. We're here today with Sarah Ting talking about creating unity in the world. And in the last segment, I was saying, you know, I think one of the wonderful aspects, and there are many, about this sun poem is a simple way of bringing us all together to realize we all have biases that we need to heal from in order to make our own life as well as the lives of others better and to leave, hopefully, peace and unity behind as well as in our own world. But I was talking about, you know, having attended a conference where we were requested to recite a request for forgiveness. So white individuals needed to request forgiveness for having participated in slavery, having participated in all the cruelty things that certainly did occur in this country. And I remember thinking, I can apologize that it happened. I can feel horrible that these things happen, and I can put my attention on wanting to make a difference in a positive, loving way and to bring healing, but how can I apologize for something I feel I didn't do? And certainly in my work as a therapist, I would never ask a person in therapy who's talking about their father or their grandfather who did horrible things to them or somebody else, I can't ask them to take responsibility for what their father did or what their grandfather did. And so how can somebody ask
me as a white person to take responsibility for something I feel I did not participate in. I do feel the race I belong to did participate. So that created a lot of feelings for me and a lot of emotions, and I felt like it wasn't the starting point for healing for me or in my work as a, hopefully as a healer. I didn't feel it would ever make a difference in that way. So, you know, it left me with some negativity. And I feel that what I would like from you is, what are your thoughts on that? Because your work is really very different.
Yeah, I appreciate what you just shared, Margaret. And I listening to you very carefully, I think there's two things to think about. I think there's the collective forgiveness. And what I mean by that is every community has its history. And if there was something done that clearly was an injustice to either the black community or a specific person, you do have to acknowledge and apologize for it. So, for example, here in Boston, there was a situation where a white woman was killed and the husband accused two black people of doing it when, in fact, He killed his wife. But the story didn't come out till, the truth didn't come out till much later. And these two black men went through this horrible persecution and being accused of killing her. So there was an apology from the city to these two people.
Mm.
So I think that is an example of what I'm talking about. Collective. Mm-hmm. Now, the one-on-one, it's how do we treat each other now? How do we treat each other now when we meet each other? So that, again, goes back to what are we doing to work on our own unconscious biases?
Right.
And if I agree with you, you are not responsible for what happened then. However, in your own way, Margaret, if you feel that you want to take it on as an individual and say something to someone who's African-American, say, you know what, I just want to let you know, I am really sorry about what our country did to your people.
I have no problem with that.
Yes.
That, to me, is something I feel I can say sincerely and lovingly, and I feel that way. I do feel that way. But see, what the difference is, you're saying what our country did. You're not saying what I personally did.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me isn't a truth.
Yes. And I also think that, again, it's up to us. This is something that I didn't realize, that we do not have a national curriculum about the history of this country. We don't. There are some people who didn't even know about the Chinese exclusion law. There are some people who didn't even know about the Japanese internment camp. So how can you have a unified nation when you don't even have an understanding of both the good and the bad in this country?
Right.
How can you? You can't. So then to me, it's collective. We as the adults, the children are not in charge. We as the adults, if we want to create a great nation, we've got to look at the education, and it is important that we understand the history of this country. To me, every single parent could say, you know what? I think we need a national curriculum.
Mm-hmm. I think we do. I'm completely in agreement with that, and I'm completely in agreement with bringing civics back so that people understand how they can take a stand for what they feel is right.
Right.
How they deal with our political system and how our political system works, how it works in Congress, and what are the rights of a governor versus a congressman or woman or a councilman or woman. Or, you know, we have to understand that because people get so frustrated and they don't know what to do with their anger and how to use our system. We've lost track of that. People don't understand.
You're right. I mean, going back to your theme of this show, when you understand the history of your country, that is unifying. That is not dividing. when everybody has a common understanding of the history of this country, that is unifying. And we have to hold up media to be accountable. Are you putting out the factual information, or are you putting out the information through a particular lens of conservatism, liberalism? So we as the consumer and as people in our community have to begin to hold these powers accountable.
Right.
Especially politicians. You said you were going to do this and you're not doing it. Hold them accountable.
Right. But people don't really know how the system works and how to hold somebody accountable. We've lost track of that.
Margaret, let me just say, we've got social media and the internet. Trust me, if you put out information that strikes a chord in somebody, you're going to get a lot of responses.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, hey, so-and-so said this in his campaign or her campaign or their campaign, but they're not doing it. What do you think, folks?
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
remind everybody. That's what
right.
we have to do. It's just reminding people. We've got this powerful tool called social media and the internet. It is huge. It is powerful. It empowers people to mobilize, to put the truth out there.
Right. Well, I still feel we need to bring it back into our education system, and we do need to speak the truth, and we do need to own up to the truth, hopefully feel compassion for one another regarding the truth. So we have to wrap up this show, but it's been delightful, and it's been a very informative conversation with you, Sarah Ting. So today we've been with Sarah Ting, the title of our show, Creating Unity in the World, and Sarah is certainly making a big contribution with her book called Small Book with a Big Idea, The 5-Minute Training to Empower You and Transform the World, with her son's home. Thank you for being with us, Sarah. Thank you so much. And if our listeners just go to sarahting.com, they can connect more with you more directly. Correct, Sarah?
Yes, or asthesun.net, Sarah, asthesun.net. Thank you, Margaret, for having me on your show. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'll be in touch, and thank you to my listeners, and I will be communicating with you and doing a show next month. I look forward to having you back on board with me. Thank you.